Romans is probably one of the books well known in the Bible. One of the main things of the book is justification by grace through faith. Also, God is the main thing in Romans. Paul unfolds the antithesis between grace and law, faith and works. He writes of an antithesis which had been reflected in the contrast between the two periods in his own life story. There is every good reason to identify this presentation of offerings with the contribution made in Macedonia and Achaia and referred to in Romans 15:26. This evidence will indicate, therefore, that Romans was writing from Corinth at the close of his third missionary journey. A few weeks ago, we saw the importance of the book of Galatians, how important it is to defend the gospel. Today, in the book of Romans, we are going to study about the unity of the church. We can see that Paul is writing in all the book about unity, and that is mixed with all these doctrines: the doctrine of God, salvation, justification. We see in Galatians that there were different tensions between Gentiles and Jews. Both came from different backgrounds, for example, Gnostics and mystics. Paul all the time is trying to join both groups, Gentiles and Jews, in one group, Christians. In Acts 2:10, we can see there that some Romans then listened to the gospel. Suetonius, a Roman writer, say that the Jews given eyewitness problems in the instigation of Crestus. And the Jews say that word Crestus, making a mockery of the name of Christ. The problems every time were bigger, and finally Claudio threw the Jews out of Rome. And you can come with me, you can see that in Acts 18, in verse 2. And say, "And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had command all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them." Then Claudio threw the Jews out of Rome about the 49 after Christ. When the Jews came back, years later, the Jews found a different Gentile church. And we can see in Romans 14 that there were tensions between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were criticizing the development of the church, and Paul is writing to make peace between Jews and Gentiles. And we're going to see one point through all the book. Then I would like that you have your Bibles ready with you. And we're going to see in Romans, we're going to start in Romans 9. In Romans 9, in the chapter 3, if you come with me, Romans 9, verse 3, say, "For I could wish that myself were accused for Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." And look, Paul is saying here, all the Jews are my family. And look now in chapter 11, verse 13. Say, "For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Paul also says he is apostle to the Gentiles. Paul has positioned himself in both groups because Paul wants that they understood that both were in the same group. Today, in our days, we can see similar things or problems. No, not with Gentiles and Jews, but we have all the time provoking rounds among us. The situation of Paul It's interesting. Paul is in Corinth, a Gentile city, and he wants to go to Jerusalem with an offering of the Gentile churches to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. Paul is teaching unity. Unity is unity in the Lord Jesus Christ, unity in His word, unity in His doctrine. Paul is teaching unity from the doctrine in all the book. And remember that the truth never can be compromised. In what way does Paul speak about the unity of the gospel of God? Well, if you come with me and look in the introduction of the book in Romans 1, in verse 5, you can read for yourself. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Then we all receive grace and apostleship. And look now, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves the Gentiles too. Those that are in Rome are called saints. And look now in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is wonderful. The gospel is power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul starts to talk about unity, while at the same time he talks of other doctrines. From chapter 1:18 to 3:20, Paul is speaking about that all men need justice. From 1:18 to verse 32, Paul is speaking about the injustice of the pagan world. And after, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, Paul speaks about the injustice of the good man. And look with me what he says in chapter 2, verse 17. Say, behold, thou art called a Jew, and retest in the law, and makes thy boast of God. Here Paul speaks about the injustice of the Jews too. Then Paul put all these different backgrounds of Christians in and put them all in the same sack. And we see his conclusion in chapter 3, verse 9. If you can come with me and read. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We are all under sin. And it is the same who you are. If you are from Spain, from Italy, from Canada, or from another island, you need the justice of God. And you only can find that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be safe. Paul advances in his reasoning, and he said before that the man needs justice. And now, from 3:21 to 8:39, say that God provides this justice. Look what he says in 3:22. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Then Paul is saying to the Jews and the Gentiles that both groups need the way of salvation, and is the same way for all the Christians, the faith in Jesus Christ. There is no reason why any of the two groups believe that they were superior. It is amazing what the way that Paul speaks about all these wonderful doctrines, and also speak chapter by chapter of unity. And we're going to see that today. From chapter 4, verses 11 to 18, here Paul is speaking that Abraham was justified when he was circumcised like a Gentile. Therefore, he was the father of the Christian Jews, not of all the Jews. Looking especially in chapter 4, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And now in chapter 5, from verses 12 to 21, we find here an exposition of the theology of the covenant. And in this chapter, we're going to see the verses 18 and 19. In chapter 5, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Then only, we can see here, only one division for all the humanity. Those that are in Eden and those that are in Christ. This theme of the Christian in continual union with Christ is exposed in chapter 6, especially in the verse 3. When he says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Then our identity is now, is in Christ, and is for always. It is not about Jews or Gentiles, or white or black people, or man or woman. Our identity is now Christ for all the Christians. But these Jews were thinking, like always, that they were superior. And then Paul knew that. And then in chapter 7, he speaks, these words are for them. And he says, verses 4 to 6, and say, in chapter 7, verse 4, Wherefore, my brother, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the death, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Paul here remembers the Christians' views that the law doesn't separate them from Christ. And Paul reaches the climax of his exposition in the chapter 8, in verse 1. Say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that is wonderful, because Paul now is leading now only a group. Those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the Savior of his people. It's the same blood who saved all the Christians. It doesn't matter if we are of different countries, race, or culture. It is only Christ who saves. Then we need to be careful also when we use others. And I would like, I'm only going to spend a few minutes in that, in Matthew, go to Matthew 7:1. If you go with me, Matthew 7:1. And Matthew 7:1 is probably the test more misapplied by the enemies of the true religion. And we can read in Matthew 7. Say, judge not that ye be not judged. By with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with that what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. When the Lord say, judge not, he doesn't mean that it is wrong under any circumstances to judge others in sin. We are to try the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 or 1 John 4:1. When Paul knew about the great sin of a brother in Corinth church, look what he say in 1 Corinthians 4:21. 1 Corinthians 4:21. He say, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Paul was judging his brother. Paul doesn't tolerate sin. And Paul is looking unity in Christ under the word of God, not unity with sin. Matthew 7:1 doesn't mean that it is wrong to reprove the sins and faults of others until we are perfect and faithfulness ourselves. Such an interpretation will contradict other parts of scriptures. The Lord is rebuking here those that try to find a fault in others in matter of indifference. Paul here is in Romans, continues to preach doctrine, but from unity. And Paul knew very well the Pharisees and what they thought. And now from chapter 9 to 11, Paul is dealing with the Christians' Jews because they had too much influence of the Jewish culture. Paul reminds them that Israel rejected the justice of God. And you can find that in chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. Noah's thought through the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Then Paul tells them that not all the Jews are true Christians. God has a small number among them, and these small chosen by God are part of the true Israel. And Paul continues with this argument in all the chapter 10, and we read in the chapter 10 that in verses 12 and 13, he say, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul says that salvation always was and is for all that call upon him. After Paul was hard with the Christians' Jews, he tried to encourage them not to let them in sadness. And he done that in two verses here in chapter 11, in the next chapter, especially verse 12, say in chapter 11, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the dismeaning of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And look especially also verse 23 in chapter 11. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Then, the Jews rejected Christ, but God is powerful, for they will come back to the Lord. We have here an eschatological point of view. A lot of theologians think that a lot of Jews will be saved in the future. The message of Paul is clear for both groups. You need one to another. Don't fight. God decides to save both groups, Jews and Gentiles. And that thought of Paul is expressed in this wonderful verse in chapter 11, verse 33. They say, "All the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his way past finding out." This verse is called the theologian confession. And now what Paul continued preaching unity from all the book. And in chapter 12, now in chapter 12 from verses 1 to 8, Paul starts to speak of unity in diversity. The Jews and Gentiles are struggling, and Paul tells them, don't think that you are very good. Look in verse 16 chapter 12. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind no high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be no wise in your own conceits." And Paul continues speaking about Paul here. And now in chapter 13, verse 8, Paul here is speaking of taxes. But he is teaching to the Christian Jews and Gentiles that the main obligation is to show love one to another. And that is a big problem, especially in this country and in this culture. One of the things that have more impression on foreigners, and I am one, is sometimes cold churches. The service is finished, and all people practically run to the door. Or sadly, other people who say that they are Christians, sitting in the same pew, listen to the word of God for years, and are not capable to speak a word with their brother that is sitting beside them. How can we show love for our brothers if we don't speak with them in theirs? Some are more worried about their views in church than to listen to the word of God. And that is a reality also in our church. It is happening, brothers. But the gospel, remember, never can be compromised. If the gospel says that we have to show love one for another, it is because it is true. As Christians, we have the same Savior. It is the same blood who cleans us from our sins. It is the Word of God that is our model of rule and obedience. And we need to seek in our brothers the things that are common to us. And that is what Paul is teaching in all the book of Romans. Paul here in Romans continues to preach doctrine with unity together. Paul argues with the strong and weak in chapters 14 and 15. And now in chapter 15, verse 7, we can read, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Paul is put the example of the Lord Jesus. Paul is saying unity between the Christians was the plan of God from all times. And especially in this chapter 15, in verses 8 to 11, we can read, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name.'" And again he said, Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and love him, all ye people. Then Paul gives them some references, some psalms that show the purpose of God. And if you see here in the verse 12, is other reference of Isaiah. Then finally, even the regards to the church has talked as unity. And if you see in the long list of names, Paul salutes, and he mentioned names from different groups. For example, and that, you have that in chapter 16. For example, he say Adronius is a Latin name, and you can find this in verse 7. Mary is a Jew name, and you can find that in verse 6. And Apelles is a Greek name, and you can find that in verse 10. Paul wants to finish the theme of the unity with an advice. And we can find that in 16:17. Say, now, I beseech you, brother, mark them which cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. We can see unity in the book of Romans. We are living today in a diverse society, and we need to call our brothers in Christ for unity. But this unity always is in the Lord and His Word. And that is a big mistake of some evangelicals, or evangelicals, that they want unity and in this unity sometimes they don't fulfill the word of God. The gospel provided walls like race, sex, age, social class, or background. In the light of the salvation, these things are not important. We are all guilty. Therefore, all we need is repentance and faith. And we must all unite together with Christ. We must worship together. There is no distinction. We are all different in personality, but we must seek what is common for everyone, our faith in Christ. In chapters 14 and 15 of Romans, Jews and Gentiles are arguing against clean and dirty foods. And Paul wanted that this situation finish. And you can find out his words in chapter 14, verse 9. Paul takes them to the Calvary. And Paul reinforces his argument in chapter 15, verse 3. Paul gives them the sample of Christ. Finally, some lessons to learn. We need to remember that the gospel forgives us. Therefore, we must forgive others. We need to all run to holiness. We need to all run to serve the Lord. We need to preach to those who are lost. Unity is a common purpose. The gospel is the rule when all in church is understood correctly. The gospel is the fountain of truth that must guide us. It is important to see what we have here this tonight. Paul is teaching unity between Christians from one of the most theological books of the Bible, and that is important. Some churches forget the doctrine. And that is the norm in our days. We see that love for the Lord Jesus Christ is united with some doctrine. And we must have theology, but also we must love our brothers. Look at the words in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Through I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have no charity. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If we know all the theology, but we don't have love, we don't have nothing. Love one another produces unity with the Word of God. And that is what we need as Christians and as a church. And we will see the kingdom of God in our lives and in our church here in Ljubljana. Amen.